The Going to College Education Podcast from the Irish Independent in association with Quality and Qualifications Ireland, QQI, promoting quality and accountability in Irish education and training.
Welcome along to the Irish Independent and independent.ie Going to College Podcast 2020. This is the third of four podcasts being recorded this month, covering everything from the Leaving Cert results, CIO offers, to the college experience. I'm your host today, Sinead Ryan, and I'll be joined each time by an expert panel as we take a look at the complexities of surviving college during COVID. And this is in association with QQI. You can download each podcast from independent.ie, and whether you're a student or parent, hopefully there'll be something for everybody. Up today now, college is going to be a very different experience for first years. Gone is the crammed fun of Freshers Week, the packed lecture halls and the co-living in student accommodation. So what kind of challenges and opportunities might that bring? Well, joining me today are Lorna Fitzpatrick, President of the Union of Students in Ireland, Scott Ahern, Student Counsellor with TU Dublin, and Dr. Brian Maguire, Director of Quality Assurance with QQI. Folks, you're all very welcome along today. Now, Lorna, perhaps I can start with you. What will, if it's not too wide-ranging a question, what will college look like for the 2021 academic year?
It is a very broad question, but I'll do my best to try and cover it as quickly as I can. We know it's going to be different, but what does that mean? I suppose everybody knows now that blended learning is that word that we're hearing coming up time and time again. So what we're going to see is most likely less time on campus for students. It will likely mean wearing face coverings and where social distancing can't be maintained. It may mean that some students may not move to the town or the city where their campus is based. So it is going to be different, but some things will still be the same. The college support services will still be there to help. The students' union is always there to support, and I suppose those last minute cramming for exams probably won't change either, but it will be a little bit different. And I think it is important, each college is going to approach it a little bit differently as well due to different size campuses and all of those kind of things. So making sure that you're going to your induction or reaching out to your college and to ask them what it's going to be like is really important.
Okay, and Dr. Brian Maguire, can I ask you, what some students may be concerned, especially first years, because they're going into this for the first time and maybe they haven't been back at school since March. So they haven't been doing online learning. How can they be reassured that they're going to get the same quality of course online as they would have in class?
Students coming back to college, they're going to be a bit disoriented. For the first time, you're uncertain about what exactly is expected of you. You're missing your school friends and so on. But that happens every time people start in college. It's a major life change, and they're going back to change their college experience for the first time. The online learning, we know that the reports back from the students who had online learning in the last term of last year were really very pleased with the level of opportunities to learn that they got, the support they got from their teachers and staff. And this has only improved over the summer, as we know that the colleges have put a major effort into preparing the online resources and getting feedback from students as to how to improve these. I think one of the key things is to feedback. Let the staff know how you're getting on, how you're responding to the material, and they in turn will change and adapt as they go along.
Yes, but I mean, I think some of them might have concerns that maybe with kind of coursework tutorials not happening or not happening as frequently and missing out on that whole joined learning that you get, I suppose, when you've got students around you that are brighter than you or students that aren't quite as bright as you and you have that collaborative approach. Do you think that's going to be a major issue just when they get to the other side of their degree that they will actually have had challenges with, Brian?
Well, collaboration is not just face-to-face. Collaboration also happens online. We exchange with each other through social media and through in the online platforms that all of the colleges have now in place. There's different platforms in different colleges, but part of taking your college experience by the horns is to actually engage in these online exchanges and question and answer sessions, feedback sessions, exchanges either in text or in video interface with your peers. The mutual exchange between students will still go on. And that's something that all the colleges emphasize in their platforms.
Yeah, and of course, we're all used to our Zoom pub quizzes and our family meetings on, online and all that. So I suppose students are more equipped for that maybe than any other demographic. So hopefully they will be able to have a similar experience. Scott Ahern, you're a counsellor, a student counsellor with TUD. What kind of issues do you think you're going to be faced with this year from students, especially from first years? Do you think in particular people will be concerned about, you know, maybe their own experience, how they're going to experience college life, maybe their mental health issues that might arise from that?
Yeah, so and thanks, Sinead, just for having myself here to partake in today. But in regards to your question, many of the issues that are kind of facing the incoming students that we're kind of experiencing at the moment would be connected to finance. There's also aspects regarding stigma regarding the virus, people may be affected. Grief is one that is becoming quite present, and also in a sense of grief in a different way of what they feel they're missing out on. So I think there's an onus of responsibility that for us who may have come through the college system or those who are returning, I think it's important that we kind of watch our language about re-emphasizing how much the incoming first years may be missing out on, where I would feel there's a real opportunity in terms of the blended learning and the new opportunities and a new style of interacting with college that may be present for them. But of course, with that, you know, comes a level of anxiety that students will be experiencing. I think there's an aspect that if students are maybe not taking online learning the same way that they might take it in the sense of face-to-face as serious, I'd be encouraging people to treat online classes and tutorials just as serious as they would if it was face-to-face, and getting on top of their academics and assessments or assignments that might be happening and building a really good routine. It can, you know, maybe for us when we're all working from home, there's a sense of being kind of stagnant or being quite stationed throughout the day. So I think it's really important that when embarking on the year coming, that students kind of build up that routine and look at the existing community or friends that they existingly have, but also not to be afraid to give it a go when it comes to college and interacting with societies and groupings online, if that, and as well as face-to-face, however limited that might be, as things may change over the coming academic year. So in one way, I would be inviting a level of patience for students and for also the college, because we're all in this, in a sense, learning this together and seeing many new things as well. So, but also really, really sending home the message that if you're missing assignments, if you are feeling not connected with the college, is to reach out to your peer mentor or peer supporter or those particular tutors or college academic points of contacts, or the counseling services, students union, you know, that can offer a way of guidance and encouragement so that these problems don't become crises.
Okay, and that's really good advice, Scott. And I think, you know, you were right to say, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all going to be awful. There's great opportunities here. And these are students who are already online for, it seems to me, more than half their lives. So maybe it won't be that different. But tell me, in terms of what parents might be able to do here, or family members, just get their first year ready to kick off on that journey, what should we be doing that might make that transition a little bit easier?
Well, I would be taking the position, do what you would if it was a status quo, you know, in terms of preparing, you know, accommodation, if that's something a student may need or may not need, you know, in terms of looking at transport, you know, if they are on college for a limited time period, to look at routine in terms of, you know, a good sleeping routine, in terms of good eating, getting on top of assignments, the timetables, when, you know, they become released, and really keeping on top of the information that the colleges will be sharing with the students at the start of the year, most certainly with the handbook and information. But I think it's really important for parents to really not only, one, encourage their, you know, their child or their young adult to interact with the college as early as they can, but also not to feel like you've missed a boat if it doesn't happen in September, October. there's going to be points to interact with the college and become connected throughout the academic year. And I think that's going to be a really important aspect. And encouraging, you know, that if there are many students who may not, as you know, say, for example, a student may be coming from County Clare who might be studying in Dublin or maybe in Galway, they may not be living in the area. So they may have a quite a unique experience. But that also offers the opportunity to connect with your local community. So you would traditionally would feel like on a college grounds, you know, you connect with your societies and the easy access that would provide meeting new people. But also this offers one, yes, to interact with them online or limited in terms of face-to-face, but also look into your local community, you know, and local sports clubs when they start opening up, maybe young people kind of clubs or societies that may be in local communities across the country.
Okay, all right. Well, that's very good advice. Let me ask Lorna actually to come in on that. Lorna, you know, students' unions now are normally up to their gills on Freshers' Week with, you know, all the tents and all the clubs and societies. What kind of plans are in place, do you think, for colleges to welcome first years in, and how important is that kind of club experience?
Massively important. I think like the student experience is about so much more than just the lecture theatre, although that is a very important element of it. It is about meeting new people. It is about joining clubs and societies. It's about having fun, having a laugh and meeting new people. And so I think that is a really vital element of the college experience. And I do think that that's still going to continue. I think the informal groups that can be set up maybe by lecturers as part of class groups are really important, but also I suppose you'll learn an awful lot about those clubs and societies and how they're going to run this academic year at the beginning of the year. So as I say, the induction and over the first couple of weeks. And we can still have fun if it's online or if it's in person once we're following the guidelines. Like there are ways for that to happen. So it's really important, I suppose, that colleges view clubs and societies as really important elements of college. And each college, as I say, will have a slightly different approach for clubs and societies. And you'll hear loads about it during the induction. But to find out more, you could definitely contact the college. But we do have the platforms. Like, as you say, we've all been part of a Zoom quiz or two by now. So we know the basics of what's available out there. But there are loads of different ways of interacting with each other. And I think keeping in contact with friends is something that we're all well used to. But maybe making friends can be a little bit more difficult online. So it is about trying to put yourself out there a little bit and but still remain comfortable and still make sure that you're checking in on others for support.
Okay, so remaining a little bit flexible, but also realizing the importance of those social contacts. Brian, can I move to a different topic now? Because I'm conscious of the fact that a lot of courses, we've talked about everything moving online. Of course, everything isn't, because there's an awful lot of courses, particularly apprenticeships, which I know that QQI has a big involvement with, that are more hands-on. You know, they involve experiments or going on site or kind of close contact. So how will that change, or what will be put in place for that? Do you understand it?
You're right, Sinead. Lots of courses have practical elements. I was a science student. I can still remember the difference between looking at a picture of, say, a cross-section of a leaf and trying to get it under a microscope with my own hands, having cut it myself, or going into a chemistry lab and just getting the smell of the space. There's some experiences, and the colleges are prioritizing those hands-on practical experiences as they try and divide up the space that they have on campus to get students in. And those are really invaluable experiences. Of course, they have had to put in place the kind of social distancing requirements, so space between students, cleaning protocols, mask wearing where necessary. And these are part of the life we're getting to live. And that's the life in college for practical work as well. You mentioned apprentices. Apprentices in some ways have the advantage that they also have an employer that's looking out for them as well as a college. So they'll have a shared experience. They'll be part of the time working with an employer, perhaps in an office or in a workshop or in a factory floor. Perhaps their apprenticeship work experience might also be remote, working from home because some businesses are working from home. But they'll also have their college experience.
Indeed. And I was actually just going to ask you that, because there's an awful lot of companies out there that aren't letting their own staff back onto the factory floor or back into the office. And I'm wondering how open they are to having in brand new apprentices who may not know the ropes, you know, may not know how everything functions and maybe mightn't want them.
We have some of the apprenticeships have indeed gone to fully remote working. And like other businesses haven't stopped. A lot of businesses have been taking on new staff, particularly in areas like online businesses, internet businesses and so on, pharmaceutical businesses. These have been taking out of where the sales and support functions have been taking on new staff. And we've taken on new staff ourselves in QQI, people who've never actually been in the office. And yet we have, as other employers do, have found ways of inducting new staff, reaching out to help them understand how our business works, how to make friends with new colleagues and so on. So in some ways, the apprentices have the best of both worlds, because they have an employer who's helping them to get to know their new world, as well as a college.
Of course. Okay. And of course, anybody who started a new job during lockdown has found exactly the same thing. Maybe they've not met any of their colleagues yet, but they're still functioning and doing their job. So we're all adapting to that. Can I ask Lorna and Scott just an issue about, because of how different this is all going to be, motivation can be a challenge at the best of times. For students, especially those maybe who've come out of the very structured environment of secondary school, where they're told where to be, what to do, who's in charge, to a situation where nobody cares if you turn up at your lecture, you know, nobody's bothered if you do this or that to the same extent. How difficult is that going to be when you're also remote? Briefly, Scott?
Yeah, so I think there's an aspect about kind of the opportunity by college, because it allows a young adult now to take on responsibility for their own learning. And that is an exciting opportunity. But if there's a sense that a parent or first year who's going to college of feeling or having a sense of falling behind, or that they're not attending as maybe they may have committed to at the beginning, and things are kind of slipping, and in one way feeling a little bit overwhelmed with maybe assignments and as they're building up, so important that you contact, you know, the students' union, a lecturer in the college, the student counseling service. And in a service like our own in student counseling, we would sit down with that individual and really just hear what's happening with them and look at what might need to change, but also looking at what they might need in terms of integrating or connecting with college and kind of bringing up that motivation. In the sense of kind of taking ownership of their own learning as they're going on. And this is doable. And this is a really good opportunity to take on new skills as they embark on their future careers as they're going. But of course, so it's really important that it doesn't get to kind of a crisis situation.
A critical point, indeed. Okay, Lorna, I presume you'd echo that as well as USI president?
I would, and it's one that we found earlier this summer. We did some research with students and we did see that isolation and motivation was one of the really big challenges for them. So I think one of the other things is maybe trying to set up regular check-ins, maybe with classmates, because if other people in your course are working towards the same deadlines or assignments or maybe taking the same courses, you may be able to help each other out with the coursework. And those, they're things that we would have said when people were on campus in a face-to-face environment as well, and that kind of thing can still happen in a remote environment, and maybe it can be a little bit more accessible in a remote kind of environment as well. So that is one piece, and most definitely echoing what Scott has said there in terms of reaching out to people. There's loads of people there who really want to support you and to make sure that you can do your best, so reaching out to them is something we would most definitely encourage.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, both of you, because there is a lot more support in college than maybe there might have been in school, where there might have been maybe a guide counselor or a kind of form head that you could have gone to. But in once you get to university, there's whole groups of people, there's whole departments whose job it is just to look after your welfare, your mental health, you know, help you with financial queries or whatever it is. So just stay in touch and don't let that drop, I think, is the message I'm hearing there. Okay, Brian, I'd just like to ask you a final question. Remote learning, of course, is opening up all kinds of challenges, opportunities, of course. It's easier in a lot of ways. Submitting exams, kind of projects, coursework, that kind of thing. Is there a danger that some students may get hoodwinked by these cogging websites, these grind mills that are on, or maybe become a little bit more vulnerable to that, do you think?
Scott emphasized earlier the importance of independent learning at college, and that college is quite different from school. And as you say, one of the things is that the assessments are also different. The real emphasis is on producing your own work and demonstrating that you've achieved the learning outcomes for the course yourself. And so there can be a temptation to try and cut corners. You're short on time. You might ask a friend for some help. You might look at something online. But really, all the colleges do have advice on how to make the learning your own, make the material your own. Of course, you have to use other books and online resources to get your source material, but then you have to absorb that and make that your very own. And there's guidance on what we call academic integrity from all the colleges. There's online sources as well. There, if you go hashtag all my own work at the Open University, they have a great resource there explaining the difference between where it's okay to collaborate, to explore things, but when it comes to submitting your assignments, unless your college has told you that it's a group project or that you're to work with your colleagues on preparing an assignment, you should do it all. It should be all your own words and all your own materials. Colleges do have ways of checking up on this technologically through comparing the material you submit. So it's not as if you're going to necessarily get away with it, but it's not even that. You know that you're in college to learn, and this is your chance to show that you've learned and ask for help if you're struggling.
Yeah, so I just want to add in there that obviously, as much as we're all talking about, you know, a college and the exciting opportunity that's kind of coming for people, I also just want to acknowledge that sometimes college doesn't work out, and that's okay too. And if it doesn't, there are supports, you know, in your colleges that help people with transitioning out or taking a pause. And I think it's really important that we also mention that those realities of life can occur, and that's okay. And I think it's important that it's not a race, you know, when it comes to college. Just because you're starting now doesn't mean that you have to finish it at a particular point. And everyone takes a unique journey. And I would imagine Lauren and Brian may agree with me with the people we've witnessed or people we've gotten to know from our time in college who take those opportunities. And just to also flag, there's a new partnership with PSHE, which is the national body that represents student counselling services across the country. And we have a partnership with the Crisis Text Line, and it's specifically targeting young people. And it's in association with USI as well, the organisation that represents students' unions across the country. So for any student, if they text 50808 plus the letters of the college that they're in, so if it's UCD, it's UCD or TU Dublin or TCD or IT Carlow, that it will allow you to link in with a support network 24/7 throughout the entire time in the college. So it's really important, just because services and colleges may close at 5 or 6, maybe even a little later, that there is other supports that students can access even late at night.
Thanks, Scott, for that. Well, that's all we have time for on this podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. I'd like to thank my guests, Lorna Fitzpatrick, Scott Ahern, and Dr. Brian Maguire, and wish you, the listeners, good wishes for whatever your college experience is going to be like this year. Now, I'll be back on Monday for the final episode in the series to discuss some of the more practical aspects of college life during COVID, from accommodation and studying to the student bar. You can listen back to all podcasts on independent.ie, on SoundCloud, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll see you next time.
The Going to College Education Podcast from the Irish Independent, in association with Quality and Qualifications Ireland, QQI, promoting quality and accountability in Irish education and training.